No one can say how many native Hawaiian plants have been driven to extinction by habitat loss, invasive animals like pigs and rats, and diseases. But there are many, and some, like Phyllostegia kaalaensis, a member of the mint family, survive only in greenhouses, closely monitored by scientists. UH Manoa botany professor Anthony Amond and his team have found a way to transplant wild microbes from healthy related plants, making a fragile organism into a much healthier plant. Their research could open up possibilities for the rehabilitation of other endangered plants, and Dr. Amond is with us in our studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
What's the principle involved here? What exactly are you doing?
Well, so if you take a look at a plant and you hold it up to the light, what you see is a lot of green.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't see are the thousands of fungi and bacteria that are living inside that plant,
mm-hmm.
And that are providing a lot of functions for that plant. They're providing chemicals that help defend against pathogens and pests, and they're helping that plant take up water and nutrients as well. So what happens is if a plant is deprived of those microbes via something like a fungicide application or antibacterial application,
mm-hmm.
They lose the ability to survive in the wild. Because there are so many of these threatened endangered plants that are surviving only in greenhouses, managers have to maintain those plants alive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're real susceptible to pathogens. So they apply fungicides weekly. In the case of Phyllostegia kaalaensis, they're only surviving in the greenhouse. They can't keep them alive without applying these fungicides.
They just wouldn't survive. They don't have the resistance.
Exactly. They'll pick up a fungal pathogen within about 30 days and die.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens then is these plants are kept alive, but they don't have any of their beneficial microbes. So when we try and plant them out into the forest, they have a real hard time defending themselves against pests and obtaining the nutrients and water. So what we tried to do was borrow a page from microbial transplants like people are doing in humans now, where if people have gut issues, they'll take microbes from a healthy individual and help restore their natural microbial functions. And we wanted to see if we could do that with plants. So we took leaves from wild relatives that were growing in the forest, ground them up in a blender, and sprayed them on the plants of these captive Phyllostegia.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that that was really effective. It helped these plants fend off these fungal pathogens and actually allowed them to survive in the wild. So now we have four individual plants that are growing out in the Waianae's that have never been subject to any sort of fungicide application. They just have their wild microbes, and they're doing great.
Somehow I thought it was going to be much more complicated than what you just described, which is getting a closely related plant, grinding it up, and spraying it on the leaves.
And that's sort of the beauty of this application,
yeah.
is that we work real hard in our labs to try to pick apart the different components of diversity in nature. But sometimes just embracing that diversity is the best approach.
Mm-hmm.
So, in these greenhouses where they have so many threatened and endangered plants, keeping things clean and sterile is imperative. They're absolutely careful to make sure that they don't introduce anything dirtier that could cause disease to these plants. But it turns out maybe that's part of the problem, and that by introducing this whole complexity of microbes, we can actually help the plants to survive.
The trouble with the fungicidal approach is that it allows the plant, or it forces the plant to exist only in that what you described as a kind of a hothouse environment, right?
Yeah, exactly. So this Phyllostegia plant that was that we wrote about in this paper that came out last week only survives in really remote ridges in the Waianae mountain range.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a several hours hike or a helicopter ride to get to these places where that plant formerly grew. So you can imagine if this plant were still dependent on people flying in and spraying it with fungicide once a week,
yeah.
We wouldn't have much of a chance at keeping this plant alive. So giving it this head start through applying microbes is really a great way forward. And we're looking forward to trying this approach on several other endangered plants as well.
That's what I was just thinking about, was these principles here would seem to be principles could be applied to in a lot of other plants.
Yeah, one of our projects now in our lab is looking at ohia rust, which is attacking certain varieties of ohia as well as endemic genus Eugenia and mountain apple and rose apple as well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've seen some of these mountain apples that are just bright orange covered with fungus.
Yeah.
So we're trying something very similar. We're going out into the wild. We're finding healthy individuals, isolating fungi from their leaves, and then seeing if those help attack this rust.
I'm wondering how broadly this principles can be applied, because some of them, some of the things you described, can also describe issues in human health. Right? We've come to understand that the human body is actually a host to thousands of organisms.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great inspirations for this project, is that we've seen a lot of success with fecal transplants. And I know it sounds gross, but it's really effective, especially for people that suffer from something like irritable bowel syndrome. It's caused by a proliferation of one or two species of bacteria that get into a gut and just grow and reproduce and exclude other species of bacteria. And you can almost reboot the human gut by taking microbes from a healthy individual and getting those to establish in your gut. Now, people have suggested that you can use this approach for all sorts of other ailments as well. But we found that the applications are somewhat limited. Just because you take healthy microbes and put them in your gut doesn't mean that they're going to stay there and survive, right? So there's only certain circumstances where you can use an approach like this. And so with plants, we're limited by the same types of parameters, and we're still figuring out what are some of the useful applications and what applications really aren't possible at this point.
Sounds as if the science is kind of young in this area.
Oh, absolutely. I think we didn't really realize the diversity of microbes that were on and inside these plants until fairly recently, when we could start to use genome sequencers to look at the DNA. And that really opened up a big black box of a world that we didn't know was out there.
What's on your wish list to find out about the contents of that big black box?
Well, we know that Hawaii is facing an extinction crisis right now. We know that we're losing a lot of our plants and birds and insects. Presumably, we're also losing a lot of our fungi and bacteria at the same time, but these are so little documented that the rate of extinction is really a question mark, and anybody that tells you otherwise is probably trying to sell you something or lying to you. So I would love to find out where are these hot spots of diversity and how we can conserve some of our Hawaiian microbes and how we can leverage those microbes to help save some of the plants and animals that are important to us.
You see that as pretty hopeful?
I do. I think this is a great way forward.
Thanks very much for coming in.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Dr. Anthony Amond is an associate professor at the University of Hawaii at Manoa's Department of Botany. Head over to the Conversation Facebook page to find more information on his research.